Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 for the message this morning. That's a great song, isn't it? Today he wore my crown. Wow, something to think about. Acts chapter 24 for the message this morning. And I want to begin reading in verse 22. Verse 22. Now, let me give you a little background here while you're turning. You can do two things at once, all right? Turn and listen. Paul has been imprisoned. He has been accused of heresy and blasphemy and everything else. He has been preaching the gospel, and a part of that gospel is the resurrection. And they 2,000 years ago did not like the doctrine of the resurrection. Just like today, folks don't like the resurrection. Paul preached on the resurrection, and that angered folks. And so there was a guy by the name of Tertullus in this passage, and he got all angry at Paul for preaching the resurrection, and so they had him arrested. All right, now in Judea, there was a governor. You remember when Christ was crucified, there was a governor by the name of Pilate. Remember that? The whole story of Pontius Pilate? Well, after Pilate, there was a fellow who was appointed by Caesar to be the governor of Judea. And his name was Felix. And in verse 22, it says, now Paul's in prison, Felix is the governor. It says, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. So Lysias was the prosecutor, so to speak, all right? Just so you know who the characters are. And so Felix said, well, after listening to Paul and his argument in court, he said, well, when Lysias comes, I'll know more. And so in verse 23, he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. So Felix gave Paul some leniency. He was kind to him. He didn't let him go, but he did not, put him in the inner chamber and, solitary confinement and all that stuff. So he let others come in and fellowship and be with him, so on and so forth. Verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, the he being Paul, all right, so Felix calls for Paul to come and speak in front of him and his wife, Drusilla. And so as he reasoned, as Paul reasoned with Felix, it says, of righteousness, of temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Now stop reading right there. And I want you to notice in verse 24 and 25, I'm going to take these two verses for my message. And I want you to notice in verse 24 that that Paul was called in before Felix and was asked to preach. I'm going to stretch it just a tad and say to you that they had a church service right here. Paul was brought in and asked to speak. And Paul preached a sermon. Now, you folks have been coming here listening to me, and many of you were here before I got here, and you listened to Dr. Smith, and you know that just about every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, either I will get up here or whoever I appoint to take the pulpit will get up here and they'll say, I have 3 points to my sermon. Well, Paul had 3 points to his sermon. If you look at verse 25, he reasoned with him, point number one, righteousness, point number two, temperance, and point number three of the judgment to come. So Paul was preaching. There was a church service going on here. But I want you to notice in verse 25 that when Paul made his 3 points, it got to Felix. And Felix, being the governor and having a little authority and a little power, he decided he'd heard enough. And so he stopped Paul in the middle of his sermon. He did not let him finish the sermon. And he sent him away. He said, you go your way, and I'll think on this, and if I need you, I will call for you. And so I'm going to entitle my sermon this morning, Paul's Unfinished Sermon. Paul's Unfinished Sermon. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Father, we thank you now for our time together this morning, and I pray that you will bless as the Word of God is preached. Thank you for this story in the Bible, and I pray that we will glean much from it this morning. I pray that you will speak to our hearts, show us what we need to see, and then, Lord, help us to make a decision to live for you and to serve you. So I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit this morning and bless as I preach the message. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we all remember the name Pontius Pilate. I spoke about Pilate on Wednesday night, here this last Wednesday night. And you remember that Pilate was the governor of Judea. That was an appointed position. Caesar appointed that position. And Pontius Pilate was the man who was the governor of Judea when the Lord Jesus was crucified. Now, you'll remember that Pilate was the one who washed his hands of the sin of murder that was committed by the Sanhedrin when they crucified the Lord Jesus. Pilate soon, as I told you last Wednesday night, Pilate soon gave up public office, and another took his place. And that other is this man in our story, and his name is Felix. Felix was also appointed by Caesar, and he was appointed as the governor of Judea. Now, there is a little bit of history that is available about this man, Felix. As I told you Wednesday night, there is very little about Pontius Pilate. The only thing we know about Pontius Pilate is what was written in a Sir Walter Scott book, and we're not sure if Scott fictionalized the story or not. So very little is known about Pontius Pilate. But there is some history about Felix. And what we know from history is that he was from Africa. He was a black man. And he was brought to Palestine. He was brought to Syria, so to speak, as it was called then, to be a slave. He was purchased and he was brought and served as a slave. And because of his brilliance, because of his sharp mind and his outgoing personality, and because of his physical size and strength, he managed somewhere along the way to secure his freedom. And with his wits and with his mind, he elevated to positions of authority and power and was appointed to be the governor by Caesar. Now, how he managed this freedom, the historians do not say. But he managed somehow to climb out of a deep pit called slavery and reached the heights of being the governor of Syria. Now, the historian Tacitus tells us that Felix ruled the Judea in the spirit of a slave and with a cruel harshness. Tacitus tells us that he was a vulgar man and that his lustful heart led him to behave in disgusting and in debasing ways. In other words, the man had no moral statute whatsoever. He was a deplorable human being. And because of his lack of character, he was the last man that we would expect to find bringing the Apostle Paul into his presence to let him speak about Jesus and think about finding a better way to live his life. You would not expect that Felix, knowing what you learn about him in history, you would not expect that he would do what he did here in bringing Paul before him. Now, when this chapter opens, we find this hard-hearted man in a place where we never would have expected to find him. We find him in verse 24 and 25 in church. Now, I do not mean by that he left the governor's mansion and got in his chariot and went down the street a little bit and went to a church building somewhere. Now, I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I am saying that he called for God's messenger, the Apostle Paul, to come in and stand before him and preach the Lord Jesus and the gospel of the Lord Jesus in his presence. And Felix is at this church service. I want you to think about that for a minute. Would you just envision that in your mind for a second? Imagine Felix sitting on the throne. And imagine Paul being brought in with guards and ushered right down in front of the governor. And just envision and see this scene in your mind. And as you look in your mind at this scene, I want you to notice that just to the right of the governor is a woman. And I submit to you that this woman that is seated beside of him is going to handicap this whole matter. She is not going to be there as a help. She is going to be there to hurt. Sitting beside him is his wife. The Bible here says she was a Jewish woman. In other words, she is married to a Gentile man. She has violated every part of her Judaism that you could imagine. She has married this man, and she has probably divorced her Jewish husband in order to marry this Gentile man. And so she has had a better opportunity, religiously speaking, than has Felix. But she has made little of it. She has no convictions. She has no understanding of God and Christ. She is as lost probably as she could be. And there she sits on the other side listening as Paul speaks. Now, I have no doubt, but what on the outside, she was a beautiful woman. But on the inside, her heart was as cold and was as ugly as his. You see, the historians tell us that she was the wife of another. But now she has broken up her home and she lives as the wife of this pagan governor. You see, folks, here's the bottom line. Likes attract likes. It's just that simple. And here are two people who are just about as messed up as they can be. They are both full of sinful ways. They are about as hard-hearted as any two individuals can be. And yet they call for the Apostle Paul and sit there and listen as he teaches them and preaches to them the gospel and about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think you will agree with me that this is a strange scene. It is an unusual scene. You know, much like a lot of folks through the years who come through the doors of this church. They walk in here, you and I spot them the minute they walk in, don't we? You can just see the world all over them. I have watched you. I have stood here, and I have watched you watch them when they come in. And some of them, when they come in, I mean, you can see the world on them. You know, you can see it. And they thought that we were having a picnic or something, because they certainly didn't have on what you and I are wearing. But they come in, they feel a little uncomfortable, and they look around, and then a lot of times they don't make it till about this point of the sermon before they look at one another, get up, and walk out. They thought, well, this is not what we bargained for. But you've seen it. You've seen it a lot. A lot of folks that we witness to and we come in contact with. And we try to win to Christ. And the simple truth of the matter is their lives are a mess. They've been married and divorced and married and divorced. And they've got his kids and her kids and their kids and our kids. And then children who have no idea where daddy is. And we've run into people and they've got alcohol problems and they've got drug problems. And I mean, we see this kind of thing all the time. And there is often so much baggage that folks bring with them that the hope of escaping from it is almost an impossible task. And we all know that's true. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to get you to see the reality of this thing. And I think that what we have here in Felix and Drusilla are two messed up people. Sin has just messed up their lives. Their lives are a disaster. Felix, however, and Drusilla have come to church, and Paul has the opportunity to preach. So I submit to you that these two people, Felix and Drusilla, they are about to hear one of the greatest preachers that has ever proclaimed the Word of God. So let's think about this church service. Let's think about what happened here in this story. There's not a whole lot of details, but let's use our imagination a little bit this morning and see if maybe we can get some idea of what happened the day Felix went to church and Paul preached his unfinished sermon. First thing I want you to consider, what brought Felix to church? You know, we see this all the time around here. I mean, folks will come in and you as I said a moment ago, you can just see the world all over them. They smell like the bottom of an ashtray. or their pupils are all dilated and they laugh at anything and everything that that goes on, or they come in and they sit with a frown on their face, and they're just waiting on me to say something that will give them the freedom to judge. I mean, we see it all the time. Why do they come? Why did Felix and Drusilla call for the Apostle Paul? What brought Felix to church? Let me suggest maybe one of four things might have been involved. First of all, he may have been prompted by mere curiosity. You know, we've had that around here. We've had people come to church, and I will go and say, "Hey, good to have you today. Did somebody invite you to come?" "Oh, no, we just drive by all the time, and we see all the cars, and we're just wondering what goes on down here." One fellow said, "Yeah, I told my next-door neighbor that I was coming to church here, and he said, 'Oh, I wouldn't go there. They're a cult.'" They're a cult. No, we're not a cult. We're biblicists. We believe the Bible. But we see this kind of thing all the time, just curiosity. You see, only yesterday in our story, only yesterday, Felix had presided over a court session where Paul was being arraigned and charged for his criminal behavior. And Paul served as his own counsel before Felix. So Felix got to hear Paul speak and got to hear Paul's argument. And no doubt he was intrigued by something or everything that Paul had to say. There was no mistaking on Felix's part that Paul was not an ordinary man. I mean, even his enemies had to confess that Paul was an amazing man with amazing abilities. You remember they said of him in Thessalonica that he was responsible for turning the world upside down. So maybe Felix wanted to hear up close. He wanted to find out for himself. Maybe he was curious to know more, and so he sent for Paul that he might find a little more out about what this man believed, this man who was so different from everybody else. So he sent for him and then willingly sat down under his ministry, but maybe it was with no higher motive than just idle curiosity. But then secondly, he may have sent for Paul because he was bored. I mean, that's a possibility. Maybe he called for Paul because he was bored, tired, and just simply fed up with sin and its consequences in his life. You see, history tells us that this man was given over to every lust, that he, with his money and his wits, had it all. And he had done it all. And he had a powerful position. And he had a beautiful wife and everything that money and power could give him. But maybe for him, life had lost its flavor. You see, the Bible tells us there is pleasure in sin. But it's only for a season, right? After a while, everything loses its thrill. And maybe Felix attended this service because he was bored. You want to hear something interesting? I think it's interesting that once this man had won his freedom, he chose a name for himself that means happy. That's what Felix means. It means happy. We have in the English language the word festive. We have the word festival. And these words are root words, the same root word from which Felix's name was taken. And he gave himself that name. He called himself Mr. Happy. The truth is, maybe Mr. Happy wasn't so happy after all. There was something missing in his life. And so he brought Paul in and was seeing if maybe Paul might have what he needed and what was missing in his life. Folks, I have often said to you from this pulpit that there is a God-sized hole in every man that only God can fill. Oh, people try to fill it with all sorts of things, but it's just never enough, is it? And the only thing that fits that hole is the Lord Jesus himself. And then thirdly, he may have attended church because he was looking for material gain. That's what verse 26 tells us. Verse 26 tells us that he was kind of hoping that Paul would bribe him. You know, Felix could see all these brethren coming and ministering to Paul, and he probably sat there and thought, you know, these guys have got to have some money. Somebody in that crowd's got to have some money, and maybe they can, you know, I can get some money out of these people. And so he was hoping for Paul to pay him, and if he would pay him, Felix would set him free. And so if he went to church for what he might get out of it personally, well, he would not be the first one to ever do that, nor would he be the last. You see, through the centuries, there have been those who have sought to use the church for what they could get out of it. Some have had their pockets in mind while attending with a smile on their faces. You know, these pyramid schemes. Oh, yeah, I've had to deal with some of those through the years. I've had people come and, you know, they join and get all excited and make a bunch of friends. And then the next thing you know, they got a party over at their house and they got an easel set up, a VCR going, and they're trying to recruit everybody into their pyramid scheme. Or investment programs, or get-rich-quick schemes. I mean, something to sell, you name it, it's been done in the name of the Lord. And he may have listened to Paul for no other reason than just to get his pockets lined with Paul's money. But then fourthly, suppose we just give this royal snake the benefit of the doubt. All right? Let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. Suppose we assume that Felix attended the church service because he really had a hungry heart. That's possible. I mean, suppose the man was genuinely seeking to get his life turned around. Maybe he was genuinely trying to find forgiveness and get his life in order. Who knows? And this is not unreasonable. I mean, after all, didn't that happen to you? Wasn't there a day in your life when you said, you know, enough, I think we need to put the brakes on this thing before I end up a disaster. And so you came to the Lord. And a lot of folks have done that. I remember that was the chief motivation for me getting saved when I was 16 years old. I did not like the way my life was headed, and I didn't want to be like my uncles and like my cousins and be a goof off and have to work in the coal mines and be a drunkard or a dope head. I didn't want to be any of that. And maybe Felix was in church because he just had a hungering for God. Could have been. But then second thing, we looked first at why Felix went to church. But now, secondly, I want you to notice what Paul had to say to the governor. Notice the message that he preached. Suppose we slip in and share the pew with Felix and Drusilla. Let's slip inside the service and let's listen in on the message from God's man and let's hear what Paul has to say. And folks, I want you to notice something. Paul did not get to finish this sermon. For you see, Felix walked out on him before he could get the message done. And that's why I'm calling my sermon this morning, Paul's unfinished sermon. And Luke records for us the part of the sermon that reached down and searched Felix's soul. Look at it. The Bible says in verse 24 or verse 25, it says, Paul reasoned with him of righteousness. Now look at this. I like the way Luke phrases this. Paul reasoned with him. Paul did not rant. Paul did not scream at him. Paul did not go off on some sentimental gush. No, he reasoned with him. He spoke to the governor of the sanity, of the common sense, of the benefits of being right and doing right. He reasoned with him. He showed him the sanity of living for God and contrasted that with the insanity of living in sin like he had been. Are you listening to the preacher? Are you listening to Paul this morning? When we sit in and listen, might we hear Paul illustrate the point with a story that was told from the lips of the Savior? Jesus told a story about a young know-it-all. We call him the prodigal son. Jesus told the story of the prodigal son who was tired of dad's rules and he wanted his inheritance so he could go and do his own thing. But here is where a life of sin takes you. The boy ended up sitting on the side of the hog pen so hungry he thought the husks of the corn looked good. And folks, no doubt application was made to the governor. Could it be that the governor's life was in such disarray because of all the tangled web of sin that he was involved in? Could it be that that convicted the governor to where he said, Paul, I'm done with this, and just walked out? I tell you, I've had that happen to me a lot. I've had that a lot. Boy, you get right down where people live and, man, up and out the door they'll go. They don't want to listen to that. But that's the message that Paul reasoned with him of righteousness. People don't want to hear that they've sinned against God. I have been accosted in the hallway right here, right there, right here by people who have come up to me after a service and pointed their finger and said, who do you think you are? And I said, what do you mean? You called me a sinner. Well, you are one. Well, nobody has ever talked to me like that. And I just say, well, I did. You're a sinner. Look at what the Bible says. For all have sinned. And folks, Paul reasoned of righteousness. He showed him that the wages of sin is death. I can hear Paul now saying, Felix, all this sin, that this lifestyle you've chosen, this wickedness that you're living in, it is destroying you. The wages of sin is death. It will destroy your family, your children, your marriage, your dreams, your future, your hopes. Oh, it does a lot of damage. Absolutely nothing can take the place of simply doing right. I can hear Paul preaching it now, can't you? But then Paul reasoned with him of temperance. What is that? Well, temperance is simply self-mastery, self-control. He spoke to a man who lost his self-control years ago, who years ago yielded himself to his own lust and passions. He spoke to this man who had allowed sin to turn his life into a pigsty of wickedness and debauchery. And man, the subject had to have hit a nerve with the governor. And then thirdly, he reasoned with him of the judgment to come. You know, folks, it used to be that preachers often preached on the subject of the judgment to come. But boy, you don't hear much about that anymore, do you? The Bible speaks about the coming judgment over and over again. And you know, I find it easy to believe in the judgment to come. And do you know why? I find it easy to believe because of the judgment of the past and the judgment of the present. The truth is, the wages of sin is still death. And the truth is, judgment is something that is taking place all the time. God is constantly judging in this world in which we live. Whatever happened to Rome? Whatever happened to Greece? Whatever happened to those despotic empires that flourished along the banks of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in times past? Whatever happened to the Third Reich? Whatever happened? The truth is, folks, God came along and said, enough of your murder and enough of your lust for power, and God leveled them. That's what happened. It's called judgment. The truth is, judgment upon nations is happening right now. What scares me is judgment happening upon America right now. And as God judges nations, make no mistake about it, God judges the individual too. And I can see Paul standing there with his finger out, pointing it right at Felix and telling him that just as God judged Herod and just as God judged Pontius Pilate and just as God judged Pharaoh and Alexander and all the Caesars, the same righteous God is going to judge him. For where much is given, much is required. And then lastly, let's ask what effect the sermon had on Felix. What happened? Well, Felix listened. And when Paul started speaking about being right to a man who he knew, being righteous to a man he knew was unrighteous, and when he started speaking about self-control to a man that he knew had no self-control, and when he started speaking about the judgment to come to a man that he knew was going to have to face God's judgment, Felix was floored. He was absolutely floored. But I want you to notice, folks, look at your Bible. Felix did not get mad. He did not get mad. Remember now, we're watching the sermon. Are you still there in your mind? Can you see Paul standing there, pointing his finger and preaching away? We're sitting in the church with them, and Paul is just going at it. 3 points: righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Well, what happened? Well, the Bible says that Felix trembled. Trembled. You know what that is? That's conviction. He got convicted. And Paul didn't get to finish his sermon. Felix was under such conviction, and he stood up, and he said, "That's enough, Paul. I know you're right. You nailed me to the wall with this third point you just made. And here's what I want. I want you to leave. And if after I think on this, I need you, well, then I'll call you." And the sermon was ended right there. It was over. Now, folks, think about it. If Felix had just sat there and listened, I guarantee you Paul wasn't done. Because you see, every sermon, it has an introduction, it has a body, usually 3 points, sometimes more, sometimes less, and then it has a conclusion. When I took pulpit speech in Bible college, we learned that. And every sermon has an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. And you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. Basically, that's a sermon. You tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. And it's like fishing. You take a lure and you put it on the end of the line, and you cast it out, and it hits the water, and then you start reeling it in. And then as soon as that fish hits that lure, boom, you got to set the hook. And then when the fish is on, that's when you reel him in. And Paul got right down through the introduction, got his 3 points in. He was just getting ready to reel it in when all of a sudden Felix stood up and said, "You're done." And Paul didn't get to use his conclusion. Now think about it, folks. Wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing if Felix and Drusilla could have sat there and listened and let Paul just go a little longer, and Paul could have told Felix how the Lord Jesus could forgive him of every sin he'd ever committed. All of this life of debauchery back here could be forgiven if he would just trust the Lord as his Savior. All the mess that this man had made, it could all be turned around and he could get set on solid ground and start over with his life. But he cut him off. He said, "Paul, you're done. And I tell you what, you go, and if I need you, I'll call you." You want to hear the sad thing? He never called. And as far as we know, and you know, I think if Felix had gotten saved, I believe there would have been a verse 28. And I believe that Luke would have said, and just so all you folks know, Felix did eventually call for Paul and he got saved. But there is no verse 28. And as far as we know, Felix died a lost man. "I'll call you if there's a convenient day." Never was that convenient day. Sad, isn't it? Oh, I've had people tell me, "Pastor, I'm going to get saved one of these days." "Are you?" "Yeah, when it's more convenient." And my mind flashes to old Felix. I could just see him sitting there, under conviction, trembling, stands up and says, "Paul, you're done. Go on. I'll call you if I need you." And he never got saved. Paul's unfinished sermon. Wouldn't you like to have heard the end of it? I would. Maybe one day when we all get to heaven, we can gather Paul around us and we can say, "Hey, Paul, won't you finish that sermon you preached? I bet it's good."